Is abortion a spiritual battle, ultimately? We're going to get an update on abortion stories from Micaiah Bilger of LifeNews.com. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Micaiah, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, first of all, I want to say something to put abortion in context, and that is our nation's founding document said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When people talk about the whole right to life and the right to life movement, they're really ultimately echoing our national birth certificate. But in the last 70, 60 years or so, we've been having this incredible push for abortion, and it's been very intense for the last 50 years ever since Roe v. Wade. And now Roe v. Wade might possibly go the way of the dodo bird. And so it's a very interesting development, but we're seeing a tremendous pushback. So here's my question for you, Micaiah. Is abortion a spiritual battle, ultimately?
Absolutely, I believe so. I've been working in the movement for probably a little over 10 years now, and I came into this because I've always prayed and hoped that I'd be able to minister, and just that God would use me in some sort of ministry, and he called me to the pro-life movement. The more I do this, the more I realize how really a spiritual battle it is. Satan is really working to try to destroy life in our nation. I was thinking about as I was getting ready to talk with you, and I remember reading, and I can't remember exactly who said it, but it was a book about abortion and the spiritual battle that I read once, and someone had pointed out that one of the reasons why Satan, they thought why Satan really hates pregnant women and hates babies so much is that Satan cannot create life. He's jealous of God because God can create life, and Satan is out to destroy life. And that pregnant mother and her unborn child are like that. Just that beautiful picture of how God uses us and how God creates life through us, and just a beautiful, wonderful, miraculous thing, and how Satan just hates that because he cannot create life, so he is intent on destroying it. I just thought that was a really interesting way to think about it, and I see just this active attempt to destroy life, and even to use people who claim to be Christian leaders to deceive the flock, to deceive Christians, and to try to convince people that destroying unborn babies' lives is okay. And I'm really seeing that in the past few months, especially this attempt by the media and by, ultimately Satan, to deceive Christians through people who claim to be Christian leaders into thinking that it's okay to kill a child before they're born.
You know, it's interesting what you were saying about Satan not being able to create life, and he's jealous, therefore, of the pregnant mother. And, that scenario, I couldn't help but think of Revelation chapter 12, where it describes how Mary is about to give birth to Jesus, and Satan is right there, and he's dead set on killing the child. And you can't help but think of Herod and his attempt to kill Jesus, and of course he failed in that, thank God. But speaking of Satan, some of the articles you've written have dealt with Satanist groups that have gotten involved in the fight, and of course they're totally in favor of abortion.
Yes, there's a group I've written about, learned a lot about in recent years called the Satanic Temple. And they claim that they don't worship Satan. They claim that they worship the self, which really is worshiping Satan. But they're very much involved in abortion advocacy. And one of the big things that they do is file lawsuits on religious freedom grounds that claim that pro-life laws that protect unborn babies and mothers are a violation of these Satanists' religious freedom. They just filed a new one, a national lawsuit recently, or they're planning to, I'm sorry, they're planning to file a lawsuit if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, which we expect and hope and pray will be happening soon. And they're planning to claim that abortion, that killing an unborn child, is a religious ritual to them. They compare it to baptism and communion. It's just so horrific. But they claim that killing an unborn child is a religious ritual, and by banning abortion, it would be violating these satanic temples' religious freedom. It's extremely disturbing. This isn't the first lawsuit that they've tried. So far, praise God, they have failed in all their attempts at their lawsuits over different state pro-life laws. But they're trying, and they're not giving up. They're very persistent, and it's just really disturbing. Actually, I was on our Facebook page this morning looking at some of the comments on our articles, and I noticed quite a number of hateful comments on one of our articles, and I started noticing a pattern, and it seemed like these people were part of the satanic temple, and so they're aggressive, and so we'll see what happens with Roe versus Wade, but they're getting this lawsuit ready.
So speaking of overturning Roe or the possibility of that, we've seen the forces of the left just basically go nuts in favor of abortion rights. And frankly, many of them have distorted the overall picture. If the Supreme Court in the Dobbs v. Jackson case overturns Roe, effectively it would go back to the states. It's not as if abortion would be banned throughout the whole country. But your comments on the reaction in reference to the possibility of the overturning of Roe.
Sure. I had mixed emotions in seeing the reactions, because this is something that I've been praying for, and so many Christians have been praying for longer than I've been alive, even, that Roe versus Wade would be overturned. And a couple of weeks ago, there was a leaked draft opinion that looked like the court may very well be doing that this summer, though we don't know for sure. So it was there's a lot of hope with pro-lifers that our prayers will be answered, but the vicious and nasty reactions, the hatefulness, and the threats from the pro-abortion side have been just very difficult to watch. There have been, it's over a dozen now, pro-life organizations, including pregnancy centers, that have been vandalized in the past couple of weeks. Many of these are Christian-run, Christian, volunteers that are just giving up their time to help mothers and babies in need. There have been threats to pro-life organizations actually had firebombs thrown at them. There's arson attempts being investigated. And there are, threats against our Supreme Court justices right now. And there are people just out there on the streets protesting that are openly saying, "Hail Satan." And as they protest, like, this is it's just a mockery. And it's really sad to see how depraved some people are, and just advocating for the killing of our most innocent children. Even at the national level, with people who are running our government, our Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, actually publicly threatened two of the Supreme Court justices by name if they dared to overturn Roe versus Wade. So we're not just seeing this from the radical protesters on the streets. We're also seeing it from some of the highest leaders in our nation. Nancy Pelosi, who's a Speaker of the House and who's supposedly a devout Catholic, called abortions moral and sacred ground a few years ago. So this is very much a spiritual battle. And Satan has clouded so many people's eyes. I've just been praying so hard for repentance for our nation, that mothers' eyes would be open to the truth, especially about their unborn babies. But we just really need to pray. We know that God is victorious, and, ultimately Satan will be overthrown one day. But for now, it's definitely a difficult battle, and we have to keep stay on our knees praying and stay vigilant and keep on fighting and, just working for the truth. It's a difficult battle.
Yes, it is. And it's interesting, too, when you think about the fact that Mother Teresa said so many years ago, she said that if we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell others not to kill one another? There is a link between abortion and violence in society, and I think that's often overlooked. But you mentioned Nancy Pelosi, and she claims to be a devout Catholic. Well, some Catholic officials have now vowed to not allow communion to Nancy Pelosi. Now, that's an internal system, within their own church. They have the right to do that, but I've seen the secular media snipe at these church leaders in reference to that. So how about some comments about that? Nancy Pelosi, communion, and being excommunicated, or at least not allowing to receive the Lord's Supper at her own Catholic church because of her extreme positions on abortion.
I'll preface it first by saying that I'm not Catholic. I'm Protestant, so I don't understand all the details of the workings of the Catholic Church. But I do have to praise Nancy Pelosi's Archbishop, Salvador Cordeleon, from San Francisco. That's where she lives. And he said that he's been trying for many years to reach out to her, to talk with her, to correct her and ask her to, repent. Because she's so pro-abortion and she's using her power to promote and expand the killing of babies and abortions. And he's, repeatedly, he said he's prayed for her. He's urged other people to pray for her and fasted for her, really urged her over and over again to repent and realize, the wickedness that she's doing through her office. And even at times claiming that she supports abortion because she's Catholic, which is misleading people, misleading other Catholics and just Christians in general, that you can support killing a child and still be, a good Christian. So he said it took, many, many years. He's been hoping and praying she'd change her mind. And he said he just felt that, he had no other recourse really other than he needed to take this step because she's really created scandal in society and has not repented of her sin, has actually bragged about her sin, in supporting abortion. And so he last week said that she may not receive communion anymore, which is a really big deal. The Catholic Church, and the condition was unless she repents. If she repents and realizes I've done wrong, I've promoted abortion, I'm a sinner, I need forgiveness, and he said he welcomes that, he wants that, but instead she's been openly defiant and in her sin, refusing to repent, refusing to back down on her support for abortion. So I have to praise him just for being courageous because this is being seen as a political move when it really isn't. And in his statement, he really emphasized this is not about politics. He cares about her heart and he cares about, her faith and where she's going. And this is really because he cares about her, it's his, she's, in his diocese, she's one of his parishioners and he wants her to convert, to repent. He's getting a lot of criticism for it, but I think we need to see more church leaders correcting people and speaking the truth in love, but, really speaking the truth.
Yes, and we're basically out of time, but yeah. Thank you so much for being with us. LifeNews.com, Micaiah Bilger. All the best, Micaiah. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much. Bye-bye now.